Hi, Joanna.
Hi, Dave.
And hello, listeners. Today we are not bringing you another episode of the Storm of Lost Rewatch podcast. We will resume rewatching Lost, but given the events that are happening currently in America, we thought it would be inappropriate to continue with business as usual with season 3 of Lost. Instead, Joanna and I wanted to come and talk a little bit about how we've been reacting to the events that are transpiring, both in terms of media and that has things to do both with the events and police brutality and institutionalized racism, and media that does not, because I feel like that balance is important to strike. But also, we wanted to make this a brief podcast because we didn't want to leave anybody stranded, but we also wanted to emphasize that neither of us are Black people, and it's very important in this time to make room and listen to other people's stories. So we've decided to strike this balance between having a platform and being there for you, our podcast community, and also trying to make space for messages that are very important to get across. Joanna, how have you been doing this weekend?
I mean, I texted a couple people being like, hi, thank you of you. And like, most of the people who messaged me back asking me how I was like, oh, you know, bad and weird, right? Like that's bad, bad and weird, or right. Various versions of that. Like, because there's people who are, you know, bad and weird with a note of angry, or bad and weird with a note of sorrowful or despairing or whatever it is. There's a lot of feelings going on. And I just want to say that like a reason that Dave and I, who are not Black people, are here talking to you right now is that I know that like something a really good friend of mine always says about sort of being there for others is you can't pour from an empty vessel. Which means you need to recharge your batteries in order to keep giving at the level that you want to give, to a fight, to activism, to engaging in the conversations that are going on. So self-care is important. Escapism is important. Please don't ignore anything, but it is also okay for you to listen to something, watch something, read something, you know, just to give your brain a little bit of space and time to regroup and fight again. So all of that is important. And I know that some of you guys listen to us as just like a way to feel like you're checking in with friends. And we wanted to be here for you this week, even if we didn't want to talk about Lost this week.
Yeah, and also we recognize that, you know, we are not necessarily the podcast you would look to for education on the Black plight in America, but instead of distributing work, if you go to distributing work to people who are already being stressed and asking them to come on the podcast, we've been spotlighting some fantastic podcasts over at twitter.com/stormpodcasts that are dealing with the issues of the Black experience in America. And Joanna and I have both, I think, been trying to find that balance. I mean, I'm going to speak for myself. Mm-hmm. I have not yet been actually out to protest. I feel very guilty about the fact, and so I'm trying to do the most with what I can do at home, which so far has involved donations of money to causes that I, you know, are recommended to me by people I trust or that I have donated to before. And then also a sort of the responsibility of self-education. So whether it be like a news story or a cultural perspective I haven't heard of before, or even if I just need like a little bit of a refresher of what redlining was, let's say, I've been trying to do ancillary reading that is not necessarily talking to people, because these resources have already been made available to us in a way that doesn't require us asking our Black friends to take time out of their day and educate us.
Right.
But yeah, it's been an interesting way of balancing the guilt of wanting to participate in protesting against this injustice versus a pandemic versus the government being kind of weird. So I think it's been really nice to have moments of escapism rolled in with trying to turn this guilt into something positive.
Right. I don't want anyone to disengage from what's going on. And, you know, maybe, you know, there's all different ways to support. And I don't want anyone to feel, I think the thing that, you know, as I, a white person, am here to tell you, like, the number one thing I want to say to, like, white people who are maybe feeling uncertain or new or uneducated or whatever in the realm of supporting, our Black community, there's a lot of education you could do for yourself. But you should, and you do need to do that. But the other thing I want to say is, like, it is okay to be learning. That's something that I've, like, sort of had to deal with, which is, like, on a way lower level than what, you know, some of the other issues that people are dealing with in this country. Obviously it is way less important. But what I will say is that embarrassment that comes from getting it wrong, I mean, like, please don't let that stop you from continuing to try. It's not okay to be ignorant, but it is okay to be, you know, to make a misstep. Listen when someone has told you you've made a misstep, correct your misstep, and try again. You know, what else is true is that there is unfortunately no right way to be supportive right now, because the world is not a monolith. The Black community is not a monolith, and different people want different things from you right now. So, like, a friend of mine asked me to use my white privilege and my white platform to speak to this, to keep speaking to this, use this podcast as a platform, use my Twitter account as a platform to keep speaking to this. That's something she asked me to do. And I am well aware that there are plenty of people who right now would prefer that I shut the fuck up. So I can't make both of those people happy. And one of those people is someone who's very dear to me. So I'm going to do that, knowing that that is the wrong thing, according to some other people. And what's true is that there isn't just one right thing that's going to magically satisfy everyone who's angry right now, because so many people are angry right now for so many different reasons. And you're probably angry listening right now as well. That is the, like, sort of temperature, the flavor in the water right now. So
So in this podcast description, I'm going to contribute a list of books that I did not make alone, books and two films, and a link to a bunch of free PDFs that are provided to Black Lives Matter. Let me explain. I talked to Java, my partner, who is a person of color, not a Black woman, but a person of color, and she talked to her group of friends to sort of help me come up with things to recommend to my podcast listeners, and actually came up with a ton of things to recommend to myself. So I think I've only read two of these books and none of the PDFs as of recording, but I definitely have some nighttime reading for myself. They include things like Between the World and Me, the Ta-Nehisi Coates book. There's also, you know, his article, A Case for Reparations, is a good place to start. New Jim Crow, How to Be an Anti-Racist, some books that are actually so popular now in the consciousness that they're being, like, sold out of Amazon. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna pass along these books to you. I'm gonna pass along links to the publishers. I would love for you guys to read them. I'm going to try to read them. If you need to obtain a hard copy, I would encourage you to try to figure that through a publisher, an independent bookstore, because it's still COVID times. And that would probably be better than relying on something like Amazon to get it to you, which is good because How to Be an Anti-Racist is sold out on Amazon. So you gotta spend some time and donate money to hopefully like a local business or directly to, you know, to a publisher if you can, and a publisher that's supporting Black voices. So I won't bore everybody by trying to pronounce all these names and offending people and talking about what these books are, because I haven't read most of them, but I will be providing the links for you. And then the films, of course, I have seen one of them. I'm Not Your Negro, the James Baldwin documentary, is amazing and a great place to start if you're of the movie-watching variety over the reading variety. And then Whose Streets, which is a documentary about the Ferguson protests, would be two things I would watch in the education mode. This is not in the light reading mode. These are heavy texts that are serious, although there is a book, Citizen, which is a book of poetry that is very cool. Joanna, do you have anything you would like to add to our educational read-in list?
Yeah, read and watch. There's a book called White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo, and that is one that I have been looking at right now. I think it's an important topic for a lot of us who, think we're on the right side of this fight and then, like, encounter something and have to, like, confront our own the ways in which we fulfill that definition that we thought we were, like, sort of above or past or something like that. Sister Outsider, Audre Lorde, Black Skin, White Masks, Franz Fanon, and Policing the Black Man, Angela Davis, are all titles that I would recommend and have been recommended to me. Another option, Who Do You Serve? Who Do You Protect? Police, Violence, and Resistance in the United States. It's an essay collection and is available free download from Haymarket Books of that book until June 5th.
Guess so, what? The link's in your description right now.
You go check it out.
Click, click, click.
Another free option for you is the film Just Mercy, which came out last year, which is based on a great book by Bryan Stevenson about his experience defending death row inmates. And that is available for free. Warner Brothers has put that out as available for free to a lot of people. If they want to check that out and didn't get to last year, it's got really powerful performances from Michael B. Jordan and Jamie Foxx, and a really good film and an educational look at, the systemic racism that is attached to imprisonment. So there is that. So those are just some options. If anyone listening wants to send us more options, we're open. But I just want to echo something that Dave said earlier that I would advise to, like, our white listeners, which is, or I will say our non-Black listeners, is, like, please don't ask any of your Black friends or especially your Black acquaintances to do emotional or educational labor for you right now. You can make your own judgments about people who are close to you and what conversations you can have with people who are in your life. I'm not saying, like, don't talk to any Black person who's in your life, but, you know, just be cognizant that they are dealing with a lot right now. They don't owe you anything. And you owe them a lot. So if you want to educate yourself, there's plenty of people, besides, us who have put resource lists out there. And I would really, encourage you to go check them out and to educate yourself, or educate us if you are, better at this than I am, which I'm sure you are, white listeners, then, let me know, how I can do better. I would love to know.
I think they could tweet at us at Storm Podcast and email us at hosts@stormpodcast.com. It's usually about loss, but we read it. So that will be a great way to do that.
I do want to say, like, this is not just like a one-off, like, lip service podcast, though it might sound that way, but, like, the episode we're not discussing about, the loss episode that we're not discussing this week, contains the death of a Black character, a very brutal death of a black character. That is one of the reasons why.
I like how you say that, like there's an option to which black character there's still left to kill.
The black character that's still on the show is brutally killed in this episode. We want to talk about that. And we have some like interviews that we've already done that we want to like dig into and want to talk about all that. So we are going to, we're not going to like just go back to business as usual next week. I promise you that. We just sort of wanted the time to make sure that we really did that responsibly. So, you know, we appreciate, this space to pause and make sure that we, do this as best we can. So.
So before we head out, what has been something that's, you've been like escapism watching? And I'm going to tell you right at the top, you're not going to like mine.
Oh no. well, I'm going to tell you right at the top, you're going to like mine.
Oh man.
I mean, you already know this, but I've been watching Avatar: The Last Airbender, rewatching. And it is one of the greatest shows alive on this planet. It is escapism, but I started watching it before, a lot of this, like, popped off in quite the manner that it did. But, it has a lot of, like, you know, it's about young people who, you know, feel somewhat powerless against a sort of monolithic, threat to their society. I mean, the Fire Nation's essentially, you know, I can't say white supremacist because, you know, this is a show that doesn't have a lot of like white characters, though it has a lot of white voices. But like, you know, it is a supremacist society, right? And they want it to be like, you know, it's Fire Nation Uber Allahs, basically. And it's about, you know, a group of young kids who, you know, are trying to protect, you know, they're a hopeful vision of a future that they have, and are the fight that they, you know, are undergoing to get there, and, their setbacks and their shames and their losses and their anxieties. I mean, this is what I've noticed on this latest rewatch. I mean, Avatar is just a delightful show. It's funny. The action's incredible. The animation's beautiful. The characterization's great. Like, there's a million reasons why it's a great show. But this idea of like failing and it's okay and keep going, which is a persistent theme of this, and you know, and the shame, the like around those failures and then just like picking yourself up and keep fighting. That to me is the most important sort of takeaway from this recent rewatch. I only have a couple episodes left. And then I'll be done. But yeah, it's just, you know, there's a lot of like spiritualism and philosophy and just like fun humor. And I just think it's an incredible, incredible show. If you haven't watched it or you haven't watched it in a while, a lot of people are watching it right now because it just popped back up on Netflix, because they're doing a live action version of it, at some point in the future. I know I didn't make it sound like escapism, but it just genuinely fills me with like, peace and joy when I watch it and like builds me up so that I can, you know, keep engaging in this, unpeaceful, unjoyful, world that we are in right now.
Yeah. If we were going for that, I would be sad that I had, already rewatched all of DuckTales by the time it went on hiatus. So it's like already, it's too early for a DuckTales rewatch, but, mine is, thanks to HBO Max, you know, that, you know, phenomena where you own all of the everything, but it isn't until it sort of like brushes across your streaming service that you're like, oh yeah, why don't I just do all of it? Yeah. I did Rick and Morty all the way through.
I don't hate Rick and Morty. I'm not like mad about Rick and Morty. Anyway, sorry.
I just wanted to prime you to have this faux argument once again. Mm-hmm. It's been interesting. They just wrapped up the back five, 10 of their 10 episode fourth season. So the fourth season's done. So you could watch all four seasons sort of as a piece if you have the broadcasts from the fourth season and then HBO Max has seasons 1 through 3. It is very interesting to see how the embracing of Rick as like a pure anti-hero in season 4 has been handled and has both changed and not changed the show. But I think the whole Szechuan sauce making Rick an aspirational character for a certain sect of fandom really woke the creative team up to really, really lampshading that Rick's an asshole. And season 4 does it in a great way that also like empowers Beth and has some crazy stories and sequences that maybe aren't... I mean, Snake Jazz is definitely up there. There's an episode where Morty takes a human snake to a snake planet and it sort of like ends up with like a snake Terminator situation because the snakes get sent into space to find the evil power and they stop warring amongst their own snakes. Anyway, it's Rick and Morty silliness. There's lots of cursing. It is very gory. And if you don't know what Rick and Morty is, maybe it's not escapism, but if you do know what Rick and Morty is and you're a fan and you just finished the fourth season and you want more, you could go through them all on HBO Max super easily. That's the autoplays there and everything, guys. You just do that and drift off to sleep and forget for a while the world's on fire.
There you go. So that's, you know, this is us. All three of us will be back next week. Neil also sends, of course, his love to you, all of you. And, we love this community and we love our listeners. And we want, a world in which everyone just feels like, you know, safe and relaxed enough to be able to talk about a decades old TV show that is sometimes perfect and sometimes deeply imperfect. So obviously we're not going to get there overnight, but I am really proud of the people who are fighting for that right now. So,
well, guys, when in doubt, don't tweet and don't fall down.